Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that. It also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to a Beantown Friday edition of the Ice Guys presented by Boston Hemp Inc. Friday, May 24th. Ian Cameron solo today on this edition of the show. Alex will be back tomorrow. And we're here to break down game two of the East Final between the Florida Panthers and the New York Rangers. Looking forward to it with the series, obviously, with Florida leading 1-0. Shout out to everyone that joined us on our Patreon exclusive live betcast last night for game one of the Western Conference Final with Edmonton and Dallas. A thrilling game, very entertaining hockey game, which we will recap in a moment. So shout out to everyone that joined us. We had another second straight night where Gamblu joined us, and man, it's great to reconnect with people you have not, that you consider, you know, a friend of yours and someone you just haven't talked to for a long time. And, you know, it's some, look, you get busy and sometimes you just get caught up in life and, you know, your own personal situation. And, you know, sometimes you're just not going to be able to, you know, stay in touch with everybody that you want to. And unfortunately, Gamblu is one of those people that, you know, I lost touch with him a little bit over the years, but it was great to have him on our betcasts this week, both of them for the game one in the conference finals. And everyone else that joined us as well, we appreciate it. It was a great hockey game last night with the Oilers and the Stars. Before we recap that, I do want to mention that we have we're going to make it official right now and announce it right here, right now on the show, that we are going to have two more live betcasts next week for the conference finals. And once again, we are going to go back to back. We're going to go on back to back nights next week. We're going to go with betcasts for game four of the Eastern Conference Final on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, Rangers and Panthers. And then Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, Game 4, Edmonton and Dallas. Actually, you know what? The time of the Edmonton-Dallas game, I don't think they have determined it yet, have they? Let me know. Let me just see. No, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time for the Dallas-Edmonton game. So that's going to be the schedule of our two betcasts. So next Tuesday, May 28th, Rangers at Panthers, game four, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Wednesday, May 29th, Stars at Oilers, game four, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. So there you go. Back-to-back betcasts again next week. The difference, though, is that next week we are going to flip the roles, if you will, of the free and the Patreon betcast. This past week, the free betcast was the Panthers and Rangers. Patreon betcast was the Oilers and the Stars. Next week, the Patreon exclusive betcast will be Tuesday night with the Rangers and the Panthers. The free-for-all betcast is going to be Wednesday night with the Stars and the Oilers. Okay, so that's going to be the schedule. I will post it on the page or post it on the screen right now. So again, Ice Guys, NHL, Conference Finals, live betcasts. And again, two of them next week. We're going to have Tuesday night, Tuesday, May 28th, Eastern Conference Final, Game 4, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And again, that one is going to be Patreon exclusive. And then, of course, on Wednesday, May 29, for the Oilers and the Stars, Game 4 in the West, that one will be free for all. So that's what we are going to have next week with the betcast. So Definitely looking forward to both of those. No question about it. Back-to-back BetCasts again next week, Tuesday, May 28th, Eastern Conference Final Game 4 with the Rangers and the Panthers. And then, of course, Wednesday, May 29th, with the Western Conference Final Game 4 with Dallas against Edmonton. And, of course, that one is going to be at 8:30. Note the start time, because the games through the week in the West are 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So very important. It'll be a half hour later start. So there we have it on the screen right now. Conference Final live BetCast, Tuesday, May 28th. Rangers-Panthers, 8 p.m. Eastern. Patreon exclusive for that one. So if you want to join us or tune in for that one, it's patreon.com/iceguys and sign up for $10 per month. And then we're back the very next night, Wednesday, May 29, Game 4, Western Conference Final, Dallas-Edmonton, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And that BetCast will be free for all. So that's our schedule next week, our two live BetCasts. They might be the final BetCasts we do in the Conference Final round. I don't know if we're going to have any. We certainly won't have any more next week. We won't have any next weekend, because we try to avoid weekend BetCast. Maybe we do a weekend BetCast during the final, but there definitely won't be one next weekend. And like I say, if we look the week after that, we might be out of these two series and out of the Conference Final. So these are probably going to be the last two BetCasts that we have in the Conference Final round. So again, next Tuesday, Rangers-Panthers Game 4, Patreon exclusive. Next Wednesday, Dallas-Edmonton Western Conference Final Game 4, free-for-all. So those are our BetCasts next week. All right. Last night, what a game. Edmonton and Dallas, great hockey game, great goaltending. And look, we know Jake Oettinger. We believe in him. We know he's a good goaltender. We know he's one of the best in the NHL when he's on his game. But let's give Skinner a lot of credit. Stuart Skinner, man, he stepped up for the Edmonton Oilers, and it started early for him when Dallas really had a pretty good start. They had a bunch of quality chances, I think, early in that hockey game last night, and Stuart Skinner was there to make those early saves to give, you know, get Edmonton through a first period where I don't think they played that great. They didn't generate many chances or many shots on goal. Definitely Dallas carried the play in the first period. Had their chances, couldn't put one in. And then Edmonton got their footing in the second period, and it sure helps when you strike very early in the period like the Oilers did. A little bit of a fortuitous bounce. Shot gets blocked by the human eraser, Chris Tanev. He's just doing his job, blocking a shot, and unfortunately it takes a bad bounce right over to Leon Draisaitl in his office, right at the faceoff circle, and basically no chance for Jake Oettinger at that point, and the Oilers go up 1-0. And then the second goal was just Zach Hyman with an absolutely tremendous bit of work to find that puck when it was dangling in the slot area there, amid all kinds of bodies and skates. He found it. He made a nice little pirouette juke move, nice little stick handling move, and managed to slip it in the five hole past Jake Oettinger. Could Oettinger have made that save? Yeah, it's kind of one that, you know, when he's right on top of his game, he probably doesn't give that up, Oettinger, but let's give Zach Hyman credit. The move he made there to make it 2-0 Edmonton, it was a phenomenal effort by him as his, you know, outstanding playoff continues for the Edmonton Oilers. Dallas gets a goal off one of the worst, and I mean worst, turnovers you'll ever see someone commit. That Brett Kulak turnover in his own zone by the Oilers in the second period, which gave Dallas some life, resulting in the Tyler Seguin goal, which cut the Dallas deficit to 2-1. I mean, it was just an absolutely atrocious giveaway. It's, oh man, I shuddered. I was just, I felt bad for Kulak. I did. I mean, it's just such a bad giveaway. It was, and it gave Dallas some life. They got it to 2-1. It got to the end of the second period, still 2-1 Oilers. And look, Edmonton, there's two things defensively that got them through that game last night and a big part of why they won. Their defensive effort was strong throughout that game. They almost got through the third period, you know, holding on to that 2-1 lead before, of course, Tyler Seguin tied it. And it's funny, the bad bounce of the puck that went against Dallas on the Leon Draisaitl goal, it's also the same bad bounce that went against Edmonton on that Seguin goal, because it went off a player in front, goes right to Seguin, and it ends up being a 2-2 tie game there But Seguin getting both of the goals. Like I said, I think that's kind of the hockey god saying, well, you know what? There was a tough bounce for Dallas off the skate of Chris Tanev that went right to Draisaitl, and he scored the first Edmonton goal. Well, there's a little payback there where it was off an Edmonton player, goes to Seguin, and he ends up tying that game at 2. We go to overtime. And then in overtime, it looks like disaster strikes for Edmonton. Not only a penalty to Connor McDavid in the first minute, but also a 4-minute penalty, double minor for high sticking. I don't understand what McDavid was upset about. I think he might have been upset. Well, hold on now. You didn't call that live as the play was unfolding. You didn't call it initially. Why now are you consulting all the officials? They congregated together there at center ice, discussed it, and they decided to call it. I think that's probably what his beef was. If you miss it, you miss it. And you can't go back then and talk it out and just now all of a sudden call it. I think that's what made McDavid upset. But as far as was it a penalty, there's no debate it was a penalty. It clipped Duchesne. It ended up cutting him and drawing blood. So from that standpoint, like, it's a clear as day penalty on McDavid. I think what he was upset about and angry about, you know, was the fact that they didn't initially call it a penalty right away. And then they have that little huddle, that little discussion. And then all of a sudden they decide to change it to and call it a 4-minute penalty. So at that moment, you're thinking, man, what a golden opportunity this is for the Dallas Stars to win that game. But unfortunately, the Edmonton penalty kill had other ideas last night. And the Edmonton penalty kill is starting to become a big time factor and a big time story into their success and how they've gotten this far. I thought their penalty kill late in the Vancouver series really started to come along. To the point now where they're right there among the top teams. And I think they are now the number one ranked penalty kill in the NHL. Yeah, not Dallas, not Florida, not the New York Rangers. The Edmonton Oilers, believe it or not, now have the number one penalty kill in the Stanley Cup playoffs of the four teams left standing. Dallas did have their looks. They did have a couple chances. Skinner had to make a couple of saves. But I thought for the majority of that 4-minute power play, the Oilers defended it about as well as you could ask. And you have to give them a shit ton of credit for that, for defending that penalty kill, for defending that power play, killing off the 4-minute power play. And at that moment, that's when I figured Dallas might have just blown their chance right there, that they had that 4-minute power play early in the first period, first overtime, I should say. And they did not convert on it. And then sure enough, Edmonton got a little life from that. Both teams actually had their chances, but definitely Edmonton started to get a little life from that huge early in the penalty kill in the first overtime. And then, of course, the chance of chances that Connor McDavid had in the first overtime, where he just could not elevate that puck. I mean, he had Jake Oettinger dead to rights. All he's got to do is elevate that puck, but somehow, what an effort by Oettinger, and that shows you what kind of goalie he is. He never gives up on the play, gets his goal stick out, gets the paddle of it down, keeps that puck out. All McDavid has to do, though, is elevate it, go roof job. He couldn't do it, couldn't get that puck elevated, but great save by Oettinger. And let's not forget that Tanev made a nice play as well at that moment to help Oettinger keep McDavid from scoring. He tied up McDavid, bothered him just enough, harassed him just enough with the coming over there to close the gap on him. And I think that take away his time and space, and I think that kind of impacted McDavid's ability to finish there. Still, I mean, that's number 97. That's supposedly the best player in the sport, certainly one of. You would think 9 times out of 10 he buries that thing on a chance like that. And he was unable to, unfortunately, at that time. And then I was thinking, as with the BetCast, we were still on, I'm like, well, now maybe Edmonton's blown their golden chance. I mean, there's McDavid with just this incredible, you know, scoring opportunity to end the game. And he can't cash in on it. So it ends the first overtime. We're still going. I think at that moment, I was thinking after the McDavid missed chance and everyone was talking about it, the TNT intermission show, the Sportsnet intermission show. And by the way, shout out to Sportsnet for including Rick Bonus on their panel last night on the Canadian broadcast. Made sense. He knows Dallas. He knows so many of these Dallas players. You know, he wouldn't know Wyatt Johnston because Wyatt only got here. He wouldn't know Logan Stankoven because he only got here. But, you know, the majority of these guys that have been on this Dallas team for a few years now, Seguin and I think even Marchment was with Dallas when Bonus was here. But certainly Seguin and Jamie Benn, the captain, and Jason Robertson and Miro Haskinen, Ottinger. You know, Rick Bowness knows all about those guys, so he can give you kind of a nice little scouting report on the Dallas Stars, and he did that on the intermission panel on Sportsnet last night. So it was a nice decision by Sportsnet bringing in Rick Bowness, the now retired Rick Bowness, as part of the panel last night for them. But then it goes to double overtime, and we're just getting all set. We took an intermission during the BetCast, and we're getting set for the second overtime. Ready, maybe it's going to go another 5-10 minutes, maybe even go into the third overtime. We're getting settled, getting ready for second overtime, and then bam, it hits you like a ton of bricks. Edmonton wins it in the first minute of double overtime. It was just a good hard forecheck, winning board battles, that matters. We saw it. Edmonton won the board battles, won the loose puck battles in that first shift in double overtime. And look, Dallas got concentrated along, you know, everyone got focused on the puck along the boards. The slot and the front of the net was vacated. And sure enough, who's standing there all alone? It's Connor McDavid. And what a fucking pass from Evan Bouchard to find McDavid. What a redirect by McDavid. Zero chance for Jake Oettinger. And there's your game winner for the Edmonton Oilers to win 3-2 in double overtime. Tremendous hockey game. And McDavid, it's almost like vindication for him, because he took that four-minute penalty, he missed that glorious chance where he was robbed by the goal stick of Oettinger. He probably should have finished that one, but he gets it back in double overtime and gives the Oilers a game one victory over the Dallas Stars in double overtime. And you know what made that goal impressive? McDavid and Bouchard put that nice little piece of work offensively together to win that game in double overtime with Chris Tanev and Esa Lindell on the ice. The shutdown pair, the vaunted shutdown pair for the Dallas Stars on the blue line. And McDavid got the better of them on that sequence to end the game. So as much as we've loved Tanev, and we still do, he still played a pretty good game. Let's not forget the play he made in the first overtime on McDavid. It was definitely a situation where they were victimized, unfortunately, and that doesn't mean they're bad players. Of course, they're not. Tanev's a beast. Lindell's a very good player. But look, sometimes when it's best on best, it's Edmonton's best forward, best line against Dallas's best defensive pair. You're not going to win the battle every time. And Dallas lost the battle at that key moment in double overtime as Tanev and Lindell on the ice against McDavid, and McDavid puts it away, and they win in double overtime. Last night. As far as Dallas, look, there's no panic. There shouldn't be. They've been here before, losing game one. I have zero explanation at this point as to why Dallas keeps losing game one. And look, I cashed in with that sentiment because I had Edmonton last night, +115, used it as the best bet on the show yesterday. I have no explanation for it at this point. It's mind-boggling that Dallas, and look, it's not like Dallas plays like complete shit. You know, it's not like they hit the shits in game one and they're awful start to finish and they're brutal and they don't care about winning a game one in a series. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just somehow, some way, this is now six straight times in a game one in a playoff series, this franchise has found a way to lose. It's like you just can't explain it. And they had the 3-0 lead in game one against Colorado in the second round, and they still found a way to lose that game. And game one's just the bane of their existence. I don't know what else to say. It's just, it's like I say, it's not like they are horrible in these games. They weren't brutal in game one against Vegas. They were actually better for the majority of game one against Colorado, and yet somehow found a way to lose that game. And again, they found a way to lose last night. Now, last night I thought was more of an even game. I think in the first period, you could say Dallas was the better team, but Edmonton got stronger as it went on. But I can't explain it now. 0-6 under Peter DeBoer in game ones for the Dallas Stars. But again, this team's been here now twice, losing game one, people getting a little antsy, you know, maybe a little nervous if you're a Dallas fan, and you know, these first two rounds after losing game one at home. But really, there's no reason to be. You know, this is a long series ahead. Edmonton just played an immaculate defensive game. It was one of the best games Stuart Skinner's played probably these entire playoffs, and yet, you know, you were still one shot away in overtime from winning the game. So again, Dallas, there's no panic. You've got game two on Saturday night. I know our guy Matt Robinson's going to be in attendance. I feel bad for Ryan because I know Ryan said they're undefeated with him in attendance. and they had never lost a game with him in attendance. But I also said to him, look, these game ones, they're just not good for the Dallas Stars. So I was concerned, and I said all along, I think they're going to lose for Ryan. I think they're going to win for Matt on Saturday. And I still think that's what's going to happen. So we'll see. But Ryan, if you're watching or listening, sorry, you couldn't see a victory in person. But long series ahead. It's going to be a great series if last night's game was any indication. That was a phenomenal hockey game. It was. Had a little bit of everything. Had some great goals. Had some outstanding goaltending from both guys, Ottinger and Skinner, last night. So very, very fascinated to see how game two unfolds. And like I said, let's give Edmonton credit. For years, what have we said? They're top heavy. The depth forwards don't forget how the chances that Holloway had. What a save Ottinger made on Dylan Holloway late in the third period as well, which kept that game afloat for Dallas. And also Warren Fogle had an amazing breakaway opportunity earlier in the game as well, and he missed the net completely. So, you know, the depth forwards were at least noticeable for Edmonton. More importantly, look, going back now to game six against Vancouver, we have seen this team play some excellent team defense. And Skinner's obviously gotten back in the net since game six against Vancouver, and he's played well also. That is a huge confidence booster and confidence builder for Edmonton for the rest of the series. That if they can play that kind of defense more often than not, they're going to give themselves a chance to win the series. They will. But can they and will they, I think, ends up being the big question. But that was kind of an example of, you know, Edmonton taking a page out of the Dallas playbook and beating them. Because we thought, hey, it's this Dallas team that's got Tanev and these Lindell and Haskinen and these great defenders on the blue line and the great goaltender in Ottinger. And there's Edmonton showing up with a great defensive effort as a team. Skinner terrific in net and the penalty kill coming through for them all game long. Stuff that you expect from Dallas, not necessarily Edmonton. So the Oilers deserve full credit for that in that win last night. We've got our good buddy, Jimmy Murphy, with us here. Of course, you can see him Monday to Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, Sick Podcast Network, The Eye Test with Pierre Maguire, a great show, absolutely tremendous show. Jimmy, I mentioned that story about Mike Modano that Pierre Maguire mentioned on your show. I think it was last week where Pierre called a game of Mike Modano's, and he was critical of Modano's performance because he was terrible. He stunk in the game. You know, he wasn't good, coughing up pucks, not doing much offensively, probably the whole gamut. He had one of those games, and even the greats have games like that.
Yep.
But he absolutely did a pretty noble thing. He goes to the dressing room after the game. Pierre Maguire, I called your game tonight. I said some shit. You know, I said you didn't play well at all. And Mike Modano says, I'm good for you. You know, I deserve to be called that I didn't play well. I deserved everything. And that was a pretty cool story hearing that. But it goes to show you the great players in the league, Jimmy, even the best, they're not going to be great every night. And a lot of times if they suck, they'll own it.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. And that's why they're the great players and great ambassadors of this game. They can look themselves in the mirror and admit when they didn't have a good game and that, you know, accept that they're not always going to be God out there and solve everything. It just doesn't work that way. And I think, you know, when you look at the big picture with the Edmonton Oilers, it wasn't just a McDavid, you know, grasping that whole concept. It was the whole team, right? I mean, they leaned so heavily on him and Drysdale for so many years that they just couldn't seem to figure out that they can have all the skill they want in those guys and maybe some other ones too, but that's not what wins when the playoffs come around. And they're starting to figure it out. You can see the way they're talking after the games. You can see it in their actions on the ice. They're rounding into a more complete team.
No question about that. And Edmonton, that was a great win. Just some more observations from you, Jimmy, on that big win for Edmonton. Look, I say big win because, you know, I thought that was an Edmonton spot. To me, I think Edmonton was in huge trouble in this series if they didn't win last night because that's a spot to get Dallas. Dallas has not been good in game one. They're now 0-6. Hard to explain. 0-6 under Pete DeBoer in game one with the Dallas Stars. They have not won a game one. They've been bad in game one. Edmonton was able to get that one last night. I thought they had to, and especially after McDavid missed that chance, like, oh, my goodness, they missed that chance to end it against Ottinger in the first overtime. Now if they lose, my goodness, how are they going to recover from this? But McDavid, it's almost like vindication that he got the overtime winner there in the second OT.
Yeah, look, and I think that's a great point by you, and I wish I had remembered that and put a little bet in on them for game one. I didn't touch anything last night, actually, but they just, for some reason, Dallas does not win in game one. I don't know. Maybe that's because they like to go seven games, so they just give a gimme out there and kind of get a feel for the other team, and then we'll figure it out from there. Who knows? But the Oilers, I just think the way they came out set the tone. I know they blew the lead and allowed the game to get to overtime, but the way they had set the tone to then and then set it again in overtime. And yeah, he missed that, but they were getting their chances and you could see they were coming. And, you know, it's just a credit to their resilience that they were able to overcome that missed opportunity and end up winning it in double overtime. And I look at a guy, though, I know he didn't factor in that goal in overtime, but I look at a guy that put them up 2-0 and Zach Hyman. And, you know, you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs earlier this weekend in their press conference introducing Craig Berube and Trey Living saying, we need character, guys. We need character, 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 character. That's all.
Yeah, you had one. It's called Zach Hyman. Yeah.
What the? Like, I will never, ever get over how they let him go. I just, you know, if that doesn't prove how overrated analytics are, if he isn't the perfect example of how this game in general, all these teams, look at the Carolina Hurricanes right now. What the hell are they doing? Pushing Waddell out the door to bring in Tulski, who's an analytics blogger. I mean, what's Tulski ever achieved in hockey until he got that position? He was a goddamn blogger, okay? And he's all about analytics. They're clearly going in that direction. They're going to go all in on it because it saves money and because it's the in thing to do right now. But tell me, how are all the analytics teams looking right now? Where are they? I don't see any of them left in the playoffs.
Sitting at home, sucking their thumb. That's what they're doing.
Sitting at home, watching just like we are. So, you know, it just baffles me that people can't get – I'm not against analytics. I'm not against it being part of the game. But as we like to say, you know, that's why we call it the eye test, our podcast. There's way more to learn about a player than just analytics. And there's a lot of stuff that you can't put numbers on. And Zach Hyman is a perfect example of that. And I love seeing a guy like that succeed.
That's right, because the analytics are going to discount board battles. The analytics are going to discount one-on-one puck battles. Heart. Taking a puck to the face and coming back the next shift. There's not an analytics statistic that's going to measure that, or you'll be able to say that about anybody. So it's all those little things, and especially at playoff time when the little things become exacerbated. There's no a question about it. They're getting more prevalent, Nick, but that's not necessarily a good thing. You know, that's the thing for certain teams. Look, I'm even looking at every game here with the expected goals and Corsi and high danger chances. I'm interested. I want to know. But my goodness, and I've said this for years, I never make my handicapping decisions solely based on what the advanced numbers tell me, because I've seen this in many sports, baseball, basketball, football, hockey. The advanced numbers say, oh, this team's due to win and better results, and the better results never happen. They just don't. And betting based on those analytics pointing to positive regression, but they're still finding ways to lose. That's the thing.
Yeah. It's just you can't measure a moment. You can't read a moment with numbers. You just can't. Yeah. Like, you know, let's just take it into real life. You know, do people go out on first dates using analytics, or are they reading their gut on how the night's going and where, you know, it can go in so many different directions. Yeah. And you'll get a read on whether that woman likes you, or if you're a guy with whatever, man, I don't care. It just, you read a moment, and you can't.
If the analytics say 25% she's going to chance that I'm going to have a long lasting relationship with her, but you feel deep down inside that, hey, we've got a connection, we've got things in common, you're going to listen to the 25% chance that you have to have a relationship.
You're going to listen to your gut.
You're going to go with your gut and say, you know what? We've got a nice little connection.
Yeah.
She's laughing at some of the stuff I'm saying. You know, what are you going to do? You got to go with your gut, hopefully,
And clearly, Edmonton's gut was saying, we got to go more grit, we got to go more character, and we got to get more guys like that. And they did. And they've rounded out their bottom six. Nice. Derek Ryan is a great player there. They're going in the right direction. I don't know if they're where they need to be yet, but they're in the right direction. And this is going to be a series. I don't know. You know, a lot of people thought Dallas was going to wipe them clean in 4 or 5 games. I think what Edmonton went through in that Vancouver series really, you know, toughened them up and got them ready for a war. And so this is going to be a war, and I'm looking forward to it.
So that sounds like that was the crux of the Don Waddell departure, It's not necessarily that he was craving another destination or another job or opening. It's just they are forcing this analytics ideology down my throat. Sorry, that ain't me. See you later.
And I'll tell you where else that's going on right now. And I don't have this. This is just my theory. Okay, so I'm not confirming this by any means, but this is my theory. So if you go back and you read up article, I don't know where it was, but just Google Sheldon Keefe, New Jersey Devils, read some of the articles that, about him being hired and some of the people talking about what he is, what kind of coach he is, what he's like. So Sheldon Keefe comes from Dubas. Okay, he's a Dubas guy. He learned and he adopted it that he really likes to put the analytics and the data into the way he coaches. That's his choice. That's fine. Yeah. I don't think he's 100% all in analytics.
I don't think so. Because he did look, he came to an understanding, Jimmy, with Brad Treliving. And I can tell you, Brad Treliving ain't an analytics guy.
But here's the deal. So he comes to an understanding with him, but maybe he's not the fit for what Treliving wants to do.
Yeah.
Right? So, which tells me is this is more of an analytics guy, Sheldon Keefe. And now you look at what's going on in New Jersey. They have one of the biggest and more empowered analytics departments in hockey, in a hockey front office across the NHL.
Yeah.
And I am of the belief that Sheldon Keefe was not a Tom Fitzgerald hire. I think that was done by ownership, who has more faith in the analytics department than Fitzgerald, unfortunately, because I think he's a great GM and he's got a good eye for hockey and he follows the eye test. And I think that's what's going over in Jersey. And I don't think it's long before Tom Fitzgerald is joining Don Waddell and looking for another job, because I just think that they're going separate ways and there.
Stepping down, maybe, you say.
There's been a lot of moves, whether it's been Dougie Hamilton, whether it's been other moves, that signings, trades that they've made that just don't really have Fitzgerald's imprint on it. So I think that that's what's going on with New Jersey as well. And they're just going to go full on analytics within the next year or so.
Wow. There you go. And that's the interesting, because then you started to say Sheldon and the analytics in New Jersey. But I was like, hold on now. Tommy Fitzgerald's not really into that a whole lot. What the hell's happening now? And it's almost like he's being usurped a little bit.
That wasn't his
decision making. Yeah.
You know who what Tommy Fitzgerald wanted to do? He wanted to keep Lindy Ruff.
Yeah.
Because that's his type of guy. And that's a guy, that's a guy that he thinks can get them to the next level. But no, they weren't having it.
Look, and look, I'm not totally against them getting rid of Ruff, but at the same point in time, like I said, that's Tommy Fitzgerald's not an analytics guy. I know that for a fact. Now it all makes sense.
It's not what this team needs.
Yeah.
This team needs grit. They need character. They need to start looking at the eye test more, and they need to start really looking at how playoff hockey is won. And Sheldon Keefe's not the guy. What's his track? He's won one playoff round.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a list when they did the tweets introducing him and listing his accolades. They may as well, listed what he did in Pee Wee hockey or midget hockey. Like, they were going way deep into all these little accomplishments. People like, who cares? What's he won in the NHL? That's what I want to know.
Playoff time, especially. Now, he's been good in the regular season. But here's the thing with Sheldon, and it's good because I was wanting to bring up, because I forgot, I have not brought up the Sheldon Keefe hire yet on this show because we've been so busy with other things. And the Don Waddell, I was going to get into the Waddell stuff, and we've covered that. Here's the thing with the Keefe hire. Great regular season coach with Toronto, but he had a regular season roster that was great. Phenomenal. Matthews, Marner, Nylander. That was just, you're going to win games.
You and I could have coached that team in the playoffs.
Yeah. You could hit a wall and we'd be able to fall ass backwards into winning, a bunch of games with the Toronto Maple Leafs in the regular season. Here's the thing. This is a roster right now in New Jersey that I'm not even convinced at the moment defensively and with their goaltending can win in the regular season consistently.
Yeah.
Making the playoffs is going to be an ordeal for New Jersey next season, let alone having any sort of success if you get there in the playoffs.
Yep.
That defense, that's not playoff caliber defense and goaltending right now for the New Jersey Devils. It's not close. They better figure out how to do something about that, Jimmy, or else I think it could be tough sledding for Sheldon, at least in year one.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a new GM figuring it out soon, unfortunately, because if I'm Tom Fitzgerald, I would just be like, I'm out of here. I mean, I'm not dealing with this.
I can tell you
right now that Tom Fitzgerald wanted to acquire a goalie last offseason, okay? Yeah. But Vanacek, the analytics say he was going to be a great goalie, and he's a good analytic goalie. How'd that go? How's that look? Oh, that's right. He's not even on the team anymore.
Yeah.
So you know, he wanted to get a goalie a lot earlier, and unfortunately it was left to the last second at the deadline. It just couldn't come together. And it bugs me. Again, I'm not against analytics, but it bugs me that so many front offices are getting taken over by it, and it's just going all one way. There's a way to find a balance, and the good teams can do it. Colorado Avalanche, I think, are a perfect example of a team that has found a balance between the eye test and analytics. You know, the Vancouver Canucks seem to be on the right track in that regard right now.
It's got to be a healthy balance, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Florida Panthers, I think, are maybe the best example of it. Okay, yeah. Let's put it out there for a team that's still alive. The Florida Panthers are the best example of a front office that is combining both, you know, tools to build their roster and know how to win.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting, like I say, with the Devils and how that works out for them next year. Here's the thing with the analytics stuff, and we'll move on after this, but I want to say one thing about it. Look, for the last few years, it's been hot stuff everywhere you look. This analytics and all these numbers that you can use, and puck possession and zone exits and percentages, and you can go on. There's a million mm-hmm. different statistics for analytics. I'm finding these teams had immediate success adopting the analytic thinking, but a lot of the success has been what? It's been regular season success. A lot of these heavy-ass analytics teams are having the regular season success, but if they're living and dying by the numbers and not by the intangibles and the little things you need in hockey, especially at playoff time, those are the teams that are also coming up short, you know, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And what's it about? Do you want your Stanley Cup, your regular season championship trophy, or do you want your Stanley Cup trophy for the playoffs? That's what you got to determine. And to me, if you're going to have success in the playoffs, yes, you incorporate some analytics. You pay attention to it because there's good stats and there's numbers I use out there. But you can't put it all on that. You've got to factor in heart. You got to factor in character, dressing room camaraderie, face-off prowess, winning puck battles, out physicality. You know, have that quotient on your team. You've got to measure that too. That's got to be part of the picture. The grand scheme of things. It can't just be all the numbers. It can't just be all about those teams are coming up short in the playoffs more often than not, and only having that regular season success.
And you know, I know our man Alex left a live bet. Do you think Alex is, when he's doing live bets, is Alex going all in on what numbers say and predictability and all that jazz? No, he's reading the temperature of the game. He's reading the way that, okay, Edmonton's had it in the offensive zone way longer in the second period than Dallas has. They're controlling it. They're cycling the puck. They're wearing the other team down. Numbers aren't going to tell you that. Your eyeballs are. And your knowledge of the game and feeling a game is what tells you that. So you got to find a happy medium. You can't just go – and again, I'm not saying go all in on the eye test. I'm saying you got to find a happy medium. And you know, you can apply it to betting there. Like I'm saying, like a live bet. If you do a live bet just purely based on numbers, good luck. I don't see you winning many.
Yeah, and that's it's got to be the balance. I agree with that. And plus, you're right. Eye test and your gut. You know what one of Alex's best live bets to make, and I've incorporated this because I think actually it makes sense, is when a team kills off a four-minute power play or a big-time key critical penalty in a playoff game, they get momentum from that. So the numbers in that sequence are going to add up for the team that had the four-minute power play, right? Expected goals and chances and high danger and all that bullshit. I say bullshit and half-heartedly because I do incorporate those now and I pay attention to them, but all that stuff, I'll say, it's gonna be lopsided toward the team that just had the four-minute power play.
Yeah.
Right? All the stats, all the analytics, high-danger chances, expected goals, all of that, Corsi, puck possession, ozone percentage time, right, all that. It's going to be in their favor. But a lot of times, Alex will bet the team that just killed that penalty.
Right.
Because it's a huge momentum surge in the game.
Yeah.
They start playing in the shift. You know, you see it all the time, a big kill in a playoff game. And then the next two shifts, that team is playing in the offensive zone. And the analytics won't measure that. But you can bet a next goal for that team that just killed that big penalty, get that momentum. And that is stuff you can only pick up watching the game yourself. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go.
All right. I think we've said our spiel.
Look, I'm not anti-analytics. I'm not all analytics. Okay. Yeah. It can't only be that when you're analyzing an NHL game. No question.
One thing that bugs me too is it's just seeing like these people getting jobs so high up in front offices that I'm sorry, in my opinion, are not qualified yet. You earn your stripes. That's how you get there. You go out, you scout, you go to games in the middle of nowhere.
What's this guy's name for Carolina again? This GM,
Eric Tulski.
I would not know Eric Tulski if he fell off a turnip truck, I wouldn't know him.
Yeah, if you were an analytic geek and you read all the blogs, you'd know it because that's what he did before he got this job.
I'm looking at his LinkedIn profile right now. What do we got here? Assistant GM. He was the assistant GM, and I'm sure they planted him beside Don Waddell there. My training is in inorganic chemistry, and I spent 10 years working as a researcher, manager, working to use nanomaterials for biological and energy applications.
Sounds like a real hockey guy.
My management skills, strategic thinker, have led me to branching out into a broader role of organizational leadership for the Carolina Hurricanes, building predictive and diagnostic models to assess players and on-ice strategies, communicating the results across the organization. While I continue to oversee the data analysis staff, I have also taken on roles overseeing the pro scouting staff and the staff that manages. Has he laced on a pair of skates?
Nick, I'm looking at Nick over here in the comments. I got no problem with nerds. I got no problem with analytics. It's putting everything all in one bucket there with the analytics that gets me and frustrates me. And yeah, somebody's saying Tom Dundon too. He's behind a lot of this too.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you too, guys, I'm not at liberty to say what it is that's going to happen, but there is some huge things that are going to happen surrounding Tom Dundon and the Carolina Hurricanes. And there could potentially be, if what I heard is correct, the league is not going to be happy if it comes out. I'll put it that way.
Wow. Yeah.
There's some shady stuff going on there. That's all I'll say.
I hate to say I'm surprised. I wish I could say I'm surprised, but no. I'm not, because we know Dundon's, ownership tenure with Carolina, it's been a rocky road, and that's putting it mildly. Yeah.
How cool can Yemi go?
Yeah. No. Wow. Bad job there matching that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Guess who was behind that?
Yeah.
Tulski. That was all Tulski.
Yeah. So. That chemistry background there really, it helped him out on that one. No question about that. But look, what else can you say? It's just, you know what? It's bothering one last thing on this. Is that there used to be a time when all the GM jobs would go to people that have a hockey background, played the game, scouted the game, and all that. And now we're just getting these people that are just number crunchers and, you know, and just in all these different industries, and all of a sudden they know hockey and know personnel and have that feel of winning and that feel for what gets it done all of a sudden in the playoffs. We expect these guys to know that.
Yeah, how long
other before than a guy that played the game for 10 years or 20 years or scouted for 5 or 10 years. Think about this. We're going to a world now where hockey players and hockey scouts are not getting GM jobs, and you know, men like this are.
Yep. Right? Yep. You know what's next? We're going to have an AI GM.
It is. We're robots.
They're going to have an artificial intelligence.
They'll sign the
players. That is coming, I'm telling you. Give it 5 years. Give it 5 years.
Yeah.
And the Devils and Hurricanes will lead the way.
Yep. AI GM, says Jimmy Murphy, in 5 years. We'll remember him saying that.
They're all going to look like Kyle Dubas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Holy shit, what a world. What a world. All right. I want to ask, too, the Bruins being eliminated, obviously, last Friday night. I got to ask, is things slowing down? You were a very busy man for a while.
No, it's getting busy. Yeah, everyone wants to know where Linus Allmark is going to wind up. Looks like he's going to be traded. What will Jeremy Swayman's contract be? We've got some morons here suggesting they trade Charlie McAvoy. It's just the off-season chaos circus season has begun here in Boston, and it won't wind down until, I would say, at least midway through July. So this actually is probably, as a hockey reporter and as a host, this is probably the busiest time of my season besides trade deadlines. So. No summer for me right now, but it'll come.
No rest for the weary, Jimmy. Just keeps on pushing on. Exactly. All right, we're going to push on as well. Yeah, exactly.
Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5. or with the breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/parents to learn more.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
We're going to push on as well to the East Final Game 2 for tonight. It's the Florida Panthers and the New York Rangers, Game 2 of their Eastern Conference Final. We've got the the Florida Panthers, slight road favorites, -115, total 5.5. Of course, Florida leading the series 1-0. Look, this is going to be interesting for the Rangers. What I was most interested in was, what would the lineup look like tonight for the Rangers with the loss in Game 1? And I'm starting to see signs that we might have a Matt Rempe appearance tonight for the New York Rangers. The latest line combinations, Jimmy, have Matt Rempe on the fourth line with Barclay Goodrow and Jimmy Vesey tonight for the New York Rangers. So that's what I'm seeing at the moment. So we might see Matt Rempe, because maybe a spark, a little emotional and tangible that he'll bring. You know, thump a few players along the boards and the crowd gets into it and they love Rempe. The Ranger fans, especially in that building, they absolutely love Matt Rempe. So I get what Laviolette is thinking here, with just a little emotional spark, emotional surge. And I know Matt Rempe's not an analytics player. I know that for a fact. No,
but they're 23-3 with him in the lineup.
Really? I didn't even know that.
23-3.
Yeah.
With him in the lineup. That's 20 wins, 3 losses, and 3 OT losses. So there you go.
Wow. So there you go. And it looks like he'll be back on that fourth line. Roslovic, Wenberg, and Cooley at the third line. The big change is Roslovic dropped from the top line down to the third line. Lafreniere, Trocheck, Panarin stays the same. And Kreider and Zibanejad will now play with Philip Hedl tonight on the top line. And I think the thinking there is that Hedl's had playoff success in the past. He scored some big goals in the past, so he gets elevated to that top line. Still Lindgren, Fox, Miller, Truba, Gustafson, and Schneider on the blue line. And as you would expect for Florida, off a shutout win, no changes for Paul Maurice with his lineup tonight. Here's the dilemma. Rangers at home, off a home loss, are very good. I think 11 straight, Jimmy, where they lost at home, they played the next game at home, they bounced back. But I don't know if they're the better team in this series. And, man, do I love the way Bobrovsky's going. He's given up 2 goals or less now in 6 straight starts, Jimmy, going back to the Boston series. He's given up 2 goals or less now, 6 straight games for the Florida Panthers. Mm-hmm. So he is really starting to key in and elevate. Not that he was bad before, because he was still really good, but I think he's getting to that, wow, brick wall level, you know, that I think he was for much of last year's run for Florida. And if he can at least match Igor Shesterkin, which he was able to do in Game 1, I think it's going to be tough sledding. And if Florida shows the level of discipline, stays out of the box, and doesn't give the Rangers that vaunted power play, you know, the opportunities to score, then that's going to be trouble, I think, for the Rangers moving forward. So I feel like it's a Rangers spot, but I don't trust them enough to win the game. Here's what I've done, Jimmy, a very different, unique approach in this game. I went with my primary bet in this game is a same game parlay with 3 legs in it. Okay. Florida Panthers +2.5. Okay, so that's Florida Panthers +2.5. New York Rangers +2.5. So what this means is I think we have a 2-goal margin or less for either team in this game. I don't think either of these teams are winning by more than 2 goals tonight, because I think Florida, you know, won't blow out the Rangers, because I do think the Rangers are going to push back tonight and play better. Yeah, I just don't know, though, if it's going to be enough to win because of how well Florida's going right now and how great they've been on the road as well all season. So I like this look. Florida plus 2.5, New York Rangers plus 2.5, and also under 6.5 in this game tonight, and that is minus 120. Okay,
that's
a very reasonable price, minus 120 for that same game parlay. Panthers plus 2.5, Rangers plus 2.5, under 6.5, minus 120. I like it. I think we're seeing 3-1, 3-2, 2-1, 2-0, even 4-2 would make this a winner for either team. So I really like that. David at Bet365 is where I put it in. Bet365
okay,
is where I put that parlay in. So that's Panthers plus 2.5, Rangers plus 2.5, under 6.5, minus 120. I think it's the best way to bet this game.
I think that's great. I'm on it. I love it. That's a great angle there. And I do think, too, that the under in general is the way to go here. I would put the under in the first period and the under total. I think we're going to see real low-scoring games for most of this series. I do like the Rangers to win, but not enough. Not enough, I don't think, to put it straight up on the money line right now. So I'm gonna piggyback you there and go with that. And if I can get a goal prop on him, I don't see it available anywhere right now because we don't know if he's in the lineup for sure. I'll bet Matt Rempe. What the hell? That would be my bargain bin. I'll just give it away now. Matt Rempe scores. Matt Rempe plays. I'm betting Matt Rempe to score.
And he's done it before. He scored a playoff goal already this year for the New York Rangers, because what he'll do is he'll park his big caboose in front of the net. And
that's the way to beat Bobrovsky. He hasn't had much traffic in front. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not taking anything away from him. He is in a zone, but a lot of the chances that he was stopping. Now that's, again, it's not to say that it's not difficult to do what he's doing. When you're stopping David Pastrnak on a breakaway, you're stopping another guy point blank in the slot. No one's saying that's easy and he's having it easy. But how many times has he had to stop a puck with a big dude like Matt Rempe or anyone, whether it's Kreider or anyone, with all that traffic in front? I thought that was one of the things that Florida did best in the last game, was they pushed everything to the outside and he had clear vision of the lanes.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a great point. He did. He was able to see the pucks well. Florida kept everything to the outside. I thought the Rangers too. I think another reason why Laviolette's going to Rempe, he saw the way that game ended, and Sportsnet panel especially talked about it after game one, where there's nothing wrong with the hit, but Nikola is just crushing Hedl right at the buzzer there. Clean hit. The game was still going. I know it was out of reach. People are saying, wait a minute, 3-0, 3 seconds left. You really need to hit him like that. But hey, it was there to be made. He hit him. Hedl had no problem with it. He said, he hit me good. It is what it is. But there was zero response. What I didn't like is zero response from the Rangers. No one got in Mikula's face. Hey, what the fuck are you doing, man? 3-0, 3 seconds left. You've won the game. You're running our guy in the boards like that. Nobody got in his face. That's the issue I have. Nobody got in his face. Like, it was a whimper of a way to go out on your home ice and shut out at home in game one, and no physical pushback to Mikula at the end of that game. That was very disheartening. And I think Laviolette saw that and said, all right, it's Rempire State building time here in game two to get a little physical and emotion into the game here for us.
Yeah. Look, my co-host Pierre McGuire calls him, he's a nuclear deterrent. Yeah. Just having him around the lineup makes people think twice. That's all. He's not coming in to fight. You don't fight in the playoffs hardly ever. I mean, we know that. He's not coming in to goon it up. He's coming in to be there when needed, to add a physical presence or a physical aura, so to speak. It's more a mental thing, having him in a lineup to use against the Florida Panthers, than it is an actual action thing in my eyes. So I think it's good that he's in there, and I do think he's capable of contributing. I think he's gotten to be a better 200-foot player as the season went on. I think one of the best things, and I don't know who's dealing with him directly on the coaching staff, but the way that staff has worked with him from when he first came in, and remember that weekend when he fought on a Saturday and on a Sunday in like Columbus, and maybe it was at home or Philly the day before. Remember that? And everyone's like, geez, you know, we got to slow down here. This kid's going to, his brain's going to be scrambled eggs if he's fighting at this rate every game. So since then, when they reeled him in a bit and they said, look, you got to play hockey too. We know what you know. You love doing it. We appreciate that you want to fight for us, but you got to play hockey too. Yeah. And he's done a good job gradually becoming better as a hockey player out there.
Yeah, I think so. I think he can play a little bit. I don't think he's just someone to throw his weight around and fight. I think there's that element there. He can get a stick on a puck. I think he's been working on being able to tip and deflect pucks. I've seen him do it in practice a couple times for the Rangers. Like, he's working on trying to improve his offensive impact as well for the Rangers. So it'll be interesting. And you know the building is going to go nuts the first time he hits the ice tonight. Like, to say they love Matt Rempe is an understatement. Like, they go nuts for him every time that he's on the and you hear the Rempe. They do that chant. They did that with Henrik way back in the day when Lundqvist was their goaltender. So, yeah, they love Matt Rempe there at MSG, and I'm sure the pop that he'll get when he takes the ice for his first shift tonight in game two will be massive. As far as the props go, yeah, for me, I would look Tkachuk, Verhaeghe, and Bennett. I'm going to go back to the well with Bennett. Bennett scored into the empty net in game one. You know, you're getting a nice price, and he's the kind of guy that can score goals in a series like this where it can be a little tighter checking, great goaltending, crashes the net. So those are some props I like for Florida. For the New York Rangers, I am going to take a shot that Lafreniere maybe bounces back. He does need to be better. I'm surprised he was as quiet as he was with his family in the building attending game one. I don't know if they're there for game two, but I assume so. I don't think they'd come down to New York just for one game. So hopefully Lafreniere plays better. I know Jimmy made the case for Matt Rempe, plus 950 at FanDuel for Matt Rempe to score tonight, by the way, in this game tonight. So certainly getting a great price. And I definitely have to have a piece of Philip Hedel now that he's up on the top line for the Rangers tonight. Plus 490 at Betano, playing with Zibanejad and Kreider. He's also going to get power play time tonight for the Rangers. So like I said, I definitely think Hedel, now that he's up the lineup, it's definitely going to be worth a look for a goal prop tonight. All right, Jimmy, before we get to best bets and bargain bin special and end the show, we do want to get your early look ahead thoughts to game two. Edmonton-Dallas tomorrow night, Dallas minus 135, total 5.5. What are you thinking looking ahead to Saturday with that?
I'm going to just go straight up Dallas on the money line. Keep it simple. I think they bounce back. Don't have a feel whether it's going to be an authority type win where they're winning by two goals or more. But I do think they tie the series up. So I'll just keep it at that.
All right. Good stuff. Indeed. There we go. And of course, we'll be on tomorrow. Alex and I, noon Eastern, will preview game two, Edmonton, Dallas, more in depth. Shout out to everyone in the chat, hit the like button. And a reminder, we mentioned this at the top of the show, and I'll mention it to Jimmy too, if he's around. Conference final live betcasts next week, Tuesday, May 28th, game four, Rangers Panthers, 8 PM Eastern, Patreon exclusive for that one. Wednesday, May 29th, West Final Game 4, Dallas-Edmonton. That one will be free for all, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. So two more conference final Ice Guys live betcasts next week. Looking forward to that. Make sure you join us. And remember, for the Patreon exclusive betcast Tuesday for Rangers-Panthers, make sure you sign up, $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys to be part of that one. You'll also get our daily sides totals and player props, goalie charts, totals charts, and tons of bonus content coming up in the offseason as well. So make sure you sign up, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And check out the Ice Guys store as well. Discounts, free shipping currently available with all orders. Get your gear and your merch, iceguys.myspreadshop.com. All right, Jimmy and I will be back with best bets and bargain bin special of the night to wrap up the show in just a moment, right after we hear from our great sponsors of Beantown Friday and every day here on the Ice Guys Boston Hemp Inc.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders. That's paycor.com/leaders.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. Of course, that ad and this show is the only way you can hear the Boston Bruins goal horn until next hockey season now at this point in time. So another perk of hearing that great ad that we run for Boston Hemp Inc. All right, bargain bin special of the night. Obviously, a game one. Actually, you know what? I don't know if there's props available yet for West Final Game 2, but either way, anything's on the table, Jimmy, from tonight's game or tomorrow night's game for Bargain Bin. What do you like?
Well, I said it already. Matt Rempe is my Bargain Bin once you can get it. I've looked at a couple sites right now. It doesn't seem to be there yet, but I'm sure it will be shortly.
FanDuel's got it for sure. You can go to FanDuel.
Okay, I'll check that out. Plus how much?
$9.50.
Woohoo! There it is. I like that a lot. All right, there's my bargain bin.
There you go, the Rempire State Building, Matt Rempe, New York Rangers, plus 950 at FanDuel, bargain bin special. Mine is also.
You know what? I'm in New Hampshire now. Shit, I can't do FanDuel. All you can do in this state that claims to live free or die, you only get one place to go bet is DraftKings. That's it. So that stinks. I'll have to drive over the border soon, but I don't know, man.
Might add, once he's confirmed in the lineup for sure, closer to puck drop, you might see some sports.
He'll pop up on, it's Memorial Day weekend here, and I live by the beach, so I really don't want to drive anywhere right now. It's probably getting pretty bad on the road. So,
yeah, no doubt. You're right. Memorial Day weekend. So keep an eye on this. I'll actually send you a message later on, DM Jimmy, if I find awesome. Other books Thanks. Have it, so that you'll be able to put that in. Because right now I'm only seeing on OddsStamp, which is the odds service where they give you all the prices and all the listings for every book.
Okay.
Odds, BetStamp, I should say. BetStamp is just a tremendous app. Yeah, BetStamp, BetStamp. I use it every day. It's just invaluable. And right now I only see FanDuel posting Matt Rempe to score a goal. And right there, again, like I said, plus 950 at this point in time with that. All right, Philip Hedel. You know, hopefully we're feeling the Heedle tonight here with the New York Rangers. He's up on the top line with Zibanejad and Kreider. It's one of those spots that is a classic Ian Cameron bargain bin special spot. Whether he scores or not, the value's there. The situation is there. He's being bumped up to the top line tonight. So we're going to rock with Philip Heedle, someone who's had playoff success in the past for the New York Rangers, plus 490 at Betano. For my bargain bin special of the night, Philip Hedel for the New York Rangers, plus 490. Again, a great price with that. All right, best bet for the conference finals here. Jimmy, what do you like for best bet?
I am going to go with my best bet is going to be the Rangers on the money line, straight up, getting a little value there. They are the dogs, but I like them to bounce back. I think it's going to be a tight game. I might even look at maybe Rangers regulation to get some nice value there. But as for now, it's Rangers money line.
All right, New York Rangers -105. I mean, the situational say scream Rangers because they have rarely, well, it's 11 straight. They have not lost two straight home games.
Yeah.
You know, that is something that obviously that streak would be broken if they lose tonight. So, but at this Florida team, man, they're so damn good. But we'll see. New York Rangers -105 for Jimmy with his best bet. My best bet, look, by default, really the main bet. I might sprinkle on the first period over just because last game we had lots of chances early and then it calmed down. But my best bet, it's the only bet that I've made as far as side and total of significance, and it's the same game parlay that I mentioned. Rangers +2.5, Panthers +2.5. Under 6.5, -120. I really like that. I think it's a great look for this game, too. That's going to be my best bet here for this Friday. Game 2, Rangers-Panthers. Great stuff. Shout out to everyone in the chat at the like button. Jimmy Murphy, I always love seeing him on Fridays here. Reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. And also check out the Ice Guys show on True TV Plus. Download the app, Roku, Amazon, and any Apple TV devices, True TV Plus. You can also check out the Ice Guys there each and every day as well. Jimmy, good. Have a good show coming up with Pierre on the eye test.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, we got George Laroque coming on the show today. So he's got his Edmonton ties. We'll be talking some Oilers and all sorts of other stuff with George. So check that out. We'll be on in about just over 45 minutes. So
before we wrap up and end the show, I do want to go. Apparently someone in our chat, Dustin here, says check BetMGM. And I'm thinking it might be with the Rempe prop. Let me see if it's posted there. I'm going to check here.
Shout out to Kay, too, throwing in some nice bets here. I've been looking and I'm taking notes. So she's feeding us with some interesting bets. I like it.
Yeah, no doubt. Let me just see. Is he posted there yet? I'm just taking a look here. Single goal, Matt Rempe. No, unfortunately not yet. But we'll keep looking. We will find a book other than FanDuel for Jimmy to put this damn Matt Rempe goal.
All I can do here is DraftKings, so I'm at the mercy of DraftKings until they post it. So
stay tuned, and I'll definitely send over the place if I see one where a book that posts it other than FanDuel for Jimmy before puck drop tonight. Great stuff for Jimmy Murphy. I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Friday night. Enjoy the games and good luck, and we are back tomorrow on Saturday for another edition of the Ice Guys.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders. That's paycor.com/leaders.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. for the love of home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.